So this week's podcast has an FA Cup theme running through it. We'll start with a rare victory, I would say, for Manchester United on Sunday. Your thoughts on that game?
If we didn't win, there'd be problems. And Solskjaer said before the match that there's no excuses with the team he put out. Mm.
He said no excuses about the pitch as well, didn't he? I did see that.
Yeah, and the first half, 5-0. And then we had a second half penalty, which was 6-0. But yeah, so it gives us confidence.
Yeah, that's probably the most important thing. What did you think to Tranmere and their performance?
I think about the first 10 minutes, they looked quite threatening on the attack and that. But then when we got the first two goals, it kind of, yeah.
The atmosphere was up, wasn't it, at the start? And then once, I think one went in, and then the second, I think they were kind of resigned to the inevitable.
I think because it was a Harry Maguire screamer, I think they were a bit. Mm. Yeah, which always gets the crowd a bit quieter.
It does, and that's a rarity from him as well. Yeah. But again, maybe you talked about confidence, that would be a boost for him in his new role as captain. Good appointment, do you think?
I don't know. I can see why, because we spent the money on him, but then you look, there's more senior players there, and there's players that have been at the club longer, such as De Gea, and players that, like Mata. I know Mata doesn't always start, but I reckon he'd be a good captain.
You think he'd have been better? Maybe he's thinking about the long-term longevity of it, perhaps, with Maguire. And then a rare non-victory for Liverpool. 2-0 up at Shrewsbury. Maybe the senior players got a bit complacent, or was it just a good second half for the lower league team?
I think that you were 2-0 up. I think it's FA Cup 2-0 up, you're against Shrewsbury, not much that you're going to get scared about. Mm. And then obviously they get their first, and then it sends a bit of panic, but the second came in. But you've always got the replay. So
they had the momentum, I think, at that point, and it was a nice atmosphere. It was your classic Premier League goes away to a lower league team, I thought, and the lower league team were up for it, the fans were up for it, and actually I thought it was a real nice day for them at the end. The surrounded, didn't they? The press box with Gary Lineker, and I think the biggest conversation to come out from that is about replays. So obviously fifth round onwards there aren't replays, it would go straight to extra time in a penalty shootout. Third and fourth round you do get replays. Fixture congestion for not just Premier League teams, actually, because some lower league managers have talked about it as well, in the fact that this time of year in particular it's very congested. If you're in a lot of competitions and you're fighting on all fronts as Liverpool are, you need the break. The last thing you need is another fixture in there.
And I think that Premier League, we don't have as many matches as the Championship and
they have
League
more league
One and
games,
League Two, which, and also like there's worse pitches as you go down, so that also takes more out of your stamina.
Yeah.
But I think, not a break as such, but maybe spread the games out a bit longer to make the season longer.
You mean finish a bit later?
Yeah.
But then what about the tournaments in the summer?
I guess, but they don't start as soon as the Prem finishes.
But then Gareth Southgate will be saying he wants time with his squad. I think it's a bit of a catch-22, and it's perhaps something that's always been there. And I think Klopp's made a real big point, because the replay will be in the week that we were supposed to have as a winter break. Players have booked holidays. It's a winter break, he'd said. We were off, that's what we've planned for. So he's decided that there were going to be no first team players involved, no senior players, and he won't even manage them. So I think that's putting out a very big message to the FA, as opposed to the Premier League, who had said, you can have this break, there are no fixtures. Seems to be a bit of a conflicting message, that.
Yeah, I think that all the players are getting tired. I think the managers get tired as well.
Yeah.
But then the FA, they need to take on board what the players and managers are saying.
Yeah.
And change something, but
time for a big change then, maybe.
Yeah.
I think it's about the timing of it as well. So traditionally the FA Cup always starts the first weekend of January, and I know Christmas has always been busy, that's the tradition in this country, the four games, but they're now so staggered for TV that whereas you would get a game on Boxing Day and New Year's Day, you could be looking at the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, literally kind of over that stretch of time to enable TV to show as many games as possible and make the money. And the clubs get that money, of course. But is there an argument that maybe the FA Cup could start earlier and start before Christmas rather than that really busy weekend?
I think so. I think maybe a bit earlier, where there's not many matches, just before winter, not too early, not at the start of the season, but maybe just before winter, before it starts getting really busy. And then
maybe November.
Yeah.
Depends on
Champions
League.
I saw this conversation about not a break as such, but for the Premier League teams, because obviously they've got international competitions as well,
yeah,
bring them a break in, because it'll make money for the local teams, because there'll be no football on TV, so people will be off to watch the local teams.
Generates a bit of money as well. So I think that was the argument that, and I don't begrudge Trades with this at all, they're going to get a big payday up to £1 million apparently for the replay at Anfield, but surely there's something wrong with the game if teams have got to rely on the lottery of a kind of cup draw to see them through a couple of years financially, whereas something like that could be brought in and that would always be there. That's a stability. It would guarantee the crowds, maybe, or even put some of those games on TV and give them a bit of a slice of the money that they miss out on. I think it's a big dilemma, and I think Klopp is definitely making a stance in saying that they're not going to be involved in that. He's going to give his players the kind of break that they deserve. So prior to the excitement of the FA Cup, we had some midweek Premier League fixtures. We'll go back to Tuesday, first of all, where some of the teams at the bottom playing each other. We had Villa and Watford. Good 3 points for Villa in the end?
Yeah, I think that they need the 3 points, and now it's getting to the busy time of the season. I think this is where they need to pick up points, because if they start dropping off points, the only way is going down, so they need to pick up points.
Who do you think is looking the most vulnerable at the bottom at the moment?
I mean, at the start of the season I would have said Watford, but I think they're going to stay up now with their new manager. But I don't think Bournemouth. I feel like Bournemouth will come in clutch.
They're on a bit of a slippery sort of slope at the moment, though, aren't they?
I feel as if, because Eddie Howe is a good manager, and I feel if, as soon as he gets those players back from injury, they'll start picking up points again.
A lot of bad luck there with injury, big time. Wednesday then, the game that I watched, because it was on TV, Manchester United, Burnley. I would have said a fixture previously that I'd have nailed on to have Man U to win. I wasn't surprised at all when they won 1-0 down, and I was really not surprised when they went 2-0 down.
Yeah, I think that in the day before the match, I was saying that I don't feel like it'll be a win. I feel like United might get a loss. More of a draw, but the first goal went in, and it was the same errors that we made against Liverpool. Maguire not picking up his man, not marking the right people, and we got picked up on by that from Burnley. And Chris Wood scored the opener with the error of the marking. And then the second goal was just a rocket. There was no chance De Gea was going to save that.
It was a good
strike.
What is it then? Because it was a similar story with the marking when they played Liverpool the weekend before. It seems to be that they're putting the wrong man on the wrong man, if that makes sense.
I feel
and the battles don't look to be well balanced.
Yeah. I feel as if they're trying to go a bit zonal. And I feel as if, because against Liverpool, they put Brandon Williams next to Van Dijk.
Yeah, and total mismatch.
And then Maguire a bit further off Williams, so if Williams gets beat, then Maguire's there as a backup, which is a good idea, but it's not working. You can't stick to something that isn't working. You've got to fix it.
And it wasn't just that he leapt higher. He had a free run up to it as well, and I think that was the worry. Similar story, and I know that Man U were pushing for the equaliser and Salah was on the break, but another mismatch there when he's through, and you think Maguire's the captain now. We talked about that before, and surely the responsibility of picking up the right man must go to him.
I feel as if, as well, because he's the captain, I think he's got a say in that changing room now.
Yeah.
And what he thinks Solskjaer has to take in account, because he's the captain. And if he knows it's wrong, then I think he should tell Solskjaer, but it's not the right marking system, and United have shipped the most goals from set pieces this season.
Yeah, so I saw that stat. And alarmingly as well, I actually rewatched the Liverpool Man U game yesterday for fun. After 55 minutes, it was 11-0 on corners to Liverpool.
Yeah.
So considering, there's a weakness, and I know it's hard, Liverpool are coming at you from all angles, and they certainly were at the start of that second half, but try and avoid giving a corner away would be a piece of advice if you know you're vulnerable.
I feel as if you get it out for a throw-in, there's less of a threat.
Yeah.
But,
Do you think that, going back to what you were saying about Maguire speaking up, is that one of the reasons he's been given the captaincy, maybe, to kind of have that vocal presence, if you want, in the changing room?
Yeah, I feel as if with England, he's quite vocal. And I feel like on the pitch, he can be quite vocal at stages. So that's probably why they gave it to him.
And what about moving forward? Because there were a little bit of a swelling on Twitter, I would say, after that game for Solskjaer to lose his job. Some Man U fans were coming out as well saying that he's living on borrowed time. What would your thought on that be?
I feel as if at the stages it is a rebuilding process, and United fans, all they want is just win the league in the first season, and it's not possible nowadays. And the Solskjaer, he's got to have the backing from the owners, which there's a massive split in the fan base. People want Solskjaer out, people want the owners out, people want both out, and it's unhealthy.
There was some very unsavoury chants, weren't they, heard on TV yesterday about the owners, and that negative energy seems to be very much directed towards them rather than Solskjaer.
I feel as if it's the owners, yes, they're in debt and a lot of debt, but since they brought Woodward in to manage those funds, we haven't won a single Premier League.
Mm.
He got brought in 2014, and ever since then, we've just declined. As before, who we had before, who retired, can't remember his name, but he got the players, he listened to the manager, and they were world class, but they don't have to be world class, they need to suit the manager's style of play.
Yeah.
And as soon as you get that going, that's when the team starts pushing on.
I think I thought on Sunday, going back to Liverpool Man U game, it was a big game, and you're always a bit sort of more apprehensive, if you like. The adrenaline's there more when you're playing Manchester United. But it was 1-0. We looked in the second half like we should have made it more than one, and then there was a little bit of a wave of an attack. But I do remember thinking, I don't know who they've got who can hurt us. I don't know what individual act of brilliance anyone was capable of producing on that pitch. And Pogba wasn't playing, you might say he should be able to do something like that. He doesn't, and that's another issue. But I just looked at the players that were there, I looked at the style of play that they were offering at Anfield, and I just thought, there isn't anyone.
I feel as if the midweek when we lost Rashford, we always knew that it was going to be tough, and the best we'd get is a draw, which we've lost. But obviously Pogba's injured, then you've got Rashford injured, who gets us the goals, and then McTominay, who's that player that wins us the ball, he's also injured. And you've got to work with the players you've got, and Solskjaer's tried his best, it's not come off. We had a few chances like that, Martial sitter, but his confidence is really low and he snatched it.
He did, yeah, and that happens a lot. You find opposing teams do that at Anfield, and that's part of the pressure that Liverpool are building. So we'll move on to their game on Thursday, because away at Wolves is never a game that anyone looks forward to, certainly not if you're an opposing fan. And it looked early on that Liverpool were doing what they would normally do. They went 1-0 up, then came the pressure. Wolves did equalise. It looked at that point that Wolves could go on and score the winner, but Liverpool, relentless as they are, dug deep again. Another Bobby Firmino goal when it's needed, and Liverpool come away with a 3 points, 2-1 winners again.
I feel as if Wolves is that team that they're starting now to get their philosophy of play into the Premier League, and I feel as if next season is when they want to get, well, they already want European football, but next season I feel like they can really push with the players they've got. And that when it went 1-1, I could see it go both ways, but Wolves had all that pressure up against Liverpool, and I say Liverpool were struggling to defend against that Adama Traore.
Yeah.
He looked dangerous, but Liverpool dug deep and found the goal.
I think that was the biggest test we've had all season. That was the toughest game that we came through in terms of an opposing team actually coming on to us. Traore was phenomenal, and it's the question I was going to put to you then when he said, with the players they've got, will they keep their players? Because Raheem Jimenez as well, these are players now that are going to start to draw attention of the bigger clubs, if you like, at the top of the table.
I feel as if the manager, he'll want to keep them, obviously, but if a player wants to leave, it's only healthy to let him go. Because if he's adamant to leave, your performance is going to get worse while you're playing with him, because he'll be unhappy at the club. But he'll want to keep them as close as he can. They're good players.
And they also suit the style of play that Wolves have. There was a lot of joking on social media after about Liverpool signing Adama. It seems that whenever there's a player who plays well against us, the solution is, we'll just go and sign them and then we'd have to play them next time. But his style is very unorthodox. His build is very unorthodox for a footballer, yet doesn't seem to slow him down, because he's got an awful lot of pace.
Yeah, I think he had struggles at Middlesbrough and Barcelona, where his first couple of playing seasons were. And Wolves brought him in as a gamble, and obviously he was really pacey, but was never really big like he is. He's now really big, yet he's kept the pace.
I found it interesting that he said he doesn't do weights. His muscles just grow, which I find a little bit bizarre. And I think that a lot of managers these days, I don't like the players to be as big as that. They're told to kind of lose a little bit. I know Klopp has with Shaqiri. Too muscular, it's not the build for what he's trying to do. If you carry that, you carry a little bit of extra weight, you're not as nimble. And he really is something different from the mould in that respect.
I feel as if, because he's pacey, he's always hard to defend against, but now he's got the strength as well. He can fight back to the defender and win the ball back. Yeah. And I don't think the manager will be unhappy with what his build is at the moment.
And I think confidence as well. So you talked about his strength, but the confidence that, you know, he had a good game against City. And that, on the back of that, he didn't play at Anfield. He didn't start in the opposing fixture, which I was really surprised about, really